Not me. I'm still working on that bass part. Take your hymnals and turn to the song that Dave picked out, 584, Stand Up for Jesus. 584. We're not going to sing, but I want you to see something on this page, 584. What's the passage that this song is referencing? Ephesians 6:13, take on you the whole armor of God and having done all to stand. Let's read, not sing, but let's read together verse 3. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Now look at this next part. Put on the gospel armor, here it is, each put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Now, Ephesians chapter 6 in your Bibles, please, with that part about putting each piece on with prayer. That's what we're looking at this afternoon. Ephesians chapter 6 says this in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now picture a soldier preparing for war. How do you see a soldier in today's military preparing for war? I was with Benjamin a couple of weeks ago, and he had in the basement with him a parachute in a backpack, and he was working to become jump master. A jump master is the one who is in charge of these guys doing their free fall, their halo jump, high opening, low altitude. They free fall until about 5,000 feet, and then they open their chute. And to do that, to become jump master, to at least work toward that, he had to work to be able to know what was in that pack, where everything went on the pack, and I looked at it, and it was supremely complicated, all the things that he was doing. He said, Dad, I've got to do this. I think it was in 3.5 minutes. And so he immediately started the timer and he went to it. And he was putting each piece and making sure that everything was done just right. And he had to have it all memorized. Because he was going to have a test where these guys would be prepared to jump out of a plane, 20,000 feet or so, and make sure that when they pulled that ripcord, something would happen. And so they had to know for sure that everything was in its right place. When he first had his test, I don't think he passed the first time, because they say you miss this. And it's just something, these guys are so picky. But when you realize that somebody's life at stake, you understand that they have to have everything down to the very last little thing. And he finally passed out. Lord willing, he'll be back. He's in Germany right now. Lord willing, he'll be back in April and actually go to Yuma again, where he'll be working on his jumps and working out with this. But it reminded me of this passage, a soldier preparing for war, and how particular you need to be. We've looked at the particulars in this soldier's outfit, the Christian soldier's outfit. Your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And then take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, we would typically say, well, that's the end of the armor. Now this soldier is ready. But then what we're looking at this afternoon is really the most important thing. And it's not really naming a piece of armor. It's telling us the attitude, the mentality, what this soldier should do, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And so here's the enemy approaching. You're in battle, you see him coming. His swords are unsheathed, and it's a tense moment. And the Christian soldier is approaching him. Battle is taking place. And then this Christian soldier does something very interesting. He drops to his knees. That's the picture. Going into battle on your knees. Now, not necessarily on your knees physically and literally, but on your knees, in prayer as you're going into battle. Communication with the battlefield commander is what this prayer is all about. The captain of the Lord's host who met Joshua before the battle of Jericho. Going into battle on your knees. You know what? Your prayer life reveals much. My prayer life reveals a lot to me. My own prayer life tells me that I am lacking. Do you know of any Christian who is satisfied with his prayer life? I don't. I have never met a Christian who says, you know what, I'm very comfortable with my prayer life. Can you ever pray enough? Can you ever pray as you ought? Well, because we can't, we therefore say, well, since I can't meet the standard that I have set for myself, what I believe ought to be, what do? We typically just don't pray at all. And folks, that's what I want us to be challenged about. They say that a church's Wednesday evening prayer meeting indicates the health of a church. We've got a very unhealthy church, if that would be true. But an individual's prayer meetings with God also say a lot, because it tells us, it tells you yourself, who you're really relying on. Because what is prayer? Is not prayer dependence upon God? Expressing my utter dependence upon Him? You know, I can't really ultimately trust the shield. I can't ultimately trust the breastplate. I trust God, who is the God of those things. He's the one in whom I place my faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. He's the one who gives me my righteousness, which is the breastplate. So I put my trust and my faith in Him. So utilizing the armor for the most effective battle requires, first of all, that you pray in the Spirit. That's what it says in the first part of verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. There's a difference between praying in sincerity, in the flesh, and praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is not praying for what you want. That's praying in the flesh. Praying in the Spirit means that God's desires are yours. His motives are yours. His ends are yours. It's like what Jesus Himself prayed, "Thy will be done." And He taught His disciples, "Pray, Thy will be done, not my will, but Thine be done," as He Himself prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. So it's prayer that is directed by the Holy Spirit. And you sense your own inadequacy. You really don't know how to pray. One of my favorite passages that has to do with prayer is Romans 8, 26, 27. "Likewise also the Spirit Himself helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Have you ever come to prayer not knowing how to say what's on your heart? Have you ever had something on your heart and tried? Have you ever tried to express to somebody else what's on your heart? And you keep saying, "Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean?" Because you don't know what they mean. You don't know if they know what you mean. Because when it all comes down to it, we're all poor communicators. But you know what's in your heart. And you just wish that other person could understand and could read your heart. Hey, let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit knows your heart. And the very thing that you cannot express, it's beyond utterance, you simply turn over to Him And in your prayer, you are consciously praying and saying words, but at the same time you're saying, Lord, I don't know what to say. You know what I want to say. You know what needs to be said. The Bible teaches us, folks, to pray to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ the Son in the Spirit. You see the Trinity? To God the Father. And Jesus said, when you pray, pray in my name. And we pray in the Spirit. That's what this says, praying always in the Spirit. So look at the command. The command is always praying at all times. Well, does that mean you're always on your knees? You've seen that, or have you read that verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. What does that mean? How do you pray without ceasing? Are you all praying right now? Pray without ceasing. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 12:23, Samuel said this, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. That means that we're always in communion with the Lord. You're always, maybe I put it this way, you're always online. You're always ready. The first thing you do when you come to any kind of a particular situation, what's the first thing you do? Well, you worry about it. That's what we tend to do. The command is pray about it. That's what it means to pray always. That's my first response. And I do it so often that it's almost a natural response. I pray about it. So the command, always. The means is with all prayer and supplication. When it says with all, that refers to every kind of prayer. So whether you're praying in public, whether you're praying in private, in secret, at home, you pray in the Spirit. So pray in the Spirit. Secondly, pray for the saints. Pray for the saints. You know what? Pray for each other. We're all in a battle, would you agree? Pray for each other. This is talking about Christian armor. We're all in the battle. Pray for one another. So it requires that we support each other in prayer. Think not only of your own spiritual conflicts. This is the thing, folks, where I think Christians need to wake up. We're all concerned about what I'm going through and the problems that I'm having and the pressures that I'm under and the sickness that I have. We're always thinking about ourselves. Pray for one another. This is why prayer requests that are listed are so good for us to remember to pray for other people. As it says in 1 Peter 5:9, remember that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And here's the command for this section, watching. Look at that, watching, it says, thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Watching means to be on the alert, to keep yourself awake. This on the behalf of all saints. Prayer is not a sport. Prayer is work. I remember coming to a Wednesday evening prayer meeting, and when I got up to give the challenge, this is years ago, I said, did you all come to work tonight? Did any of you remember this? I said, who came to work tonight? And everybody's like, what are we going to do, clean the church? We're going to go outside and do the lawn? What are we supposed to do? No. Prayer is work, and that's why we often don't do it. Prayer is work. That's why it says be on the alert. It's not something you do when you feel like it. Look at the means, with all perseverance and supplication. This is asking, supplication, asking for the saints. What are some of the things that you've been privileged to pray about lately when it comes to somebody else in this church? And this is where I want some response. What are some of the things that you've had the privilege of praying for in regards to somebody else at Westside Baptist Church? Somebody? Somebody's health. Ed? Leadership? Anybody got any specifics? Somebody's health? Or something? Juanita? Don Morris Hospital. Praying for all the saints. Dave?
Praying for the Power Unlimited
program. Power Unlimited. Keep going. Let's keep going. What are we praying for? What are some of the things that we pray for? Somebody else. Yeah, Jerry.
For missionaries.
For our missionary, every Wednesday night we pray for one of our missionaries. Somebody else. What do we pray for, Karen? Family members, we have a family of the week. So we're always praying, always with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We pray for one another, folks. And then thirdly, pray for the speaker. So pray in the Spirit, pray for the saints, pray for the speaker. Who's the speaker in this passage? Because he says, pray for me. Who is it who's writing this book? The Apostle Paul. Paul says, pray for me. And for me is the way he puts it. He is the speaker. And you'll notice in verse 20, he calls himself an ambassador. He takes the message to the foreign land. And we folks are ambassadors in a world that is not our home. Have you ever sang the song, "This world is not my home, I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." We're ambassadors here. This world is not our home. So then where is your citizenship? My citizenship is in heaven. It is important that the speaker communicates clearly what needs to be said. So pray for the speaker. Ambassadors face a barrier in their work. Very often it's a language barrier. So the president would most often choose somebody who knows the language of the country to which he's going. So when you pray for the ambassador, what should you be praying for the ambassador? Safety? This is typically what we pray for. Oh Lord, give him safety. It's not in this passage. Pray for his comfort. No, what is listed? Look at verse 19. And for me, and here it is, he gets specific. Here's what I want you to pray for. When the Apostle Paul is asking these Ephesians, please pray for me, what is his prayer request? Hey, Ephesian elders, please write down this prayer request. His prayer request is right here. That I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. It is to speak with clarity that I may open my mouth. I have read where Charles Spurgeon, every time he preached, had at least 700 men praying for him as he preached. And then you wonder, why were his sermons so powerful? Pray for your pastor. Pray for me. Paul was so direct in saying, pray for me. Why cannot I pray the same thing? Please pray for me. Pray for each other, that all of us might open our mouths and do exactly what it says. Let's just read it together. Here's the prayer request, that we, let's say it together, may open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. That is the presiding prayer request. That is the paramount prayer request that every one of us ought to be praying one for another. To speak with clarity. You see, our biggest problem is not what we'll say. The biggest problem we have is whether we will say anything at all. We ought to be convicted because we'll open our mouth about jobs, we'll open our mouth about family, about housing, and about all kinds of, but the most important thing, we don't say anything about it. To boldly make known. And the subject of his speech is to make known the mystery of the gospel. The gospel is the good news. Secondly, not just to speak with clarity, but verse 20, to speak with courage. Look at verse 20 again. For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak. And here's the adverb, which modifies the verb, to speak how? Boldly. And then he says, as I ought to speak. So Paul knows how he ought to speak. You know how you ought to speak. You ought to do it boldly. But I need prayer for that. I'm just like you. We're just like the Apostle Paul. When it comes down to witnessing, when it's somebody we're intimidated by, and very often it's most often it's a family member. We're intimidated by him. Why? That I may speak boldly. as I ought to speak. So more than praying for someone to be saved, and that's typically how our prayer requests go on Wednesday night, pray for such and such for their salvation. And there's nothing wrong with that. But most often, what the Apostle Paul is asking prayer for is not for someone to be saved. He's saying, pray for me to witness to this person so that he might be saved. So you see the priority here. When you request prayer for someone to be saved, ask people to pray for you to speak boldly as you want to speak so that they might be saved. That therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Folks, if we expect to be victorious in battle, we've got to be outfitted completely, intelligently, particularly, and praying the whole time. Praying in the Spirit for the saints and for the speaker anytime someone has the opportunity to give forth the gospel. Pray, yes, for the seeker, but more than praying for the seeker, pray for the speaker, that he may speak boldly, that he will do so or she will do so with clarity and with courage. Now let me ask you something. Will you pray for those who go forth to give the gospel? Will you pray? We're leaving. The afternoon service is almost over. We go out. Pray for one another. That's our outreach. This is Westside's outreach. When you go out there, we have gone out. Now reach others for Jesus Christ. Are you willing, as the Apostle Paul is, to ask others to pray for you in this way? You see, you're willing to pray for me to go out and speak boldly. Are you willing to make this your prayer request? Pastor, pray for me that I may speak boldly. Jerry, pray for me. Betty, pray for me. To ask others in the church, listen, I want to see such and such say, please pray for me that I may speak with clarity and with boldness.